Shas Illuminated presents the following shiur by Rabbi Aaron Sorsher. Meseches Moed Katan has been dedicated Le'iloi Nishmas, Peril Bas Reb Yehoshua Heschel HaKohen.
We're learning Meseches Moed Katan, Daf Yud Aleph, we're starting from the Mishnah. The Mishnah says, Oisin Maka L'Gagel U'Mepeses Meise Hedyit Avalei Meise Uman. You can make a fence for a roof or for a porch if you do it a Meise Hedyit but not a Meise Uman. The Gemara explains how do you do a Maisa Hedyit. You do a Behutza V'dafna, you do an inferior type of a fence with palm branches or boards that aren't not generally used for a fence. Masnisatan etzor b'tzor v'enetach betit. You could use stones, but if you don't cement the stones, you just pile them up, and that's a unprofessional type of a fence. Like we explained in the previous year, any time you do a malachal etzor chamayid, generally, Litzarech HaMayit, only a Maisa Hedyit Smutta, not a Maisa Uman. The Gemara early on Dav Zayin explained that if you need a fence for your Chatzir from the Rishus HaRabim, that you're afraid robbers come in, that's called a Davar Ovid. If it's a Davar Ovid, so even a Maisa Uman is Mutta, you can make a regular fence. And there's a Machlokes Tanam if you need a Shinu Bechlal, and we paskin, like the Gemara here in Dav Yud Aleph says clearly, Madlina Ne'idna Kibusa the Dasha Bechel Demay, Kaman Kereb Yasi. They don't need a shina b'davar avot. So a ma'isa uman's mutter even without a shina. But our Mishnah is talking about a fence for a gag. And mepesas, that's not a davar avot. That's only something which you need for tzarech hamayit. That's why only a ma'isa hedyit is mutter. The Mishnah goes further. Shafen es a stock in a magila naisa b'magila b'yad of a regal avaloi b'machalatzim. You're allowed to repair the cracks in the roof, and you're allowed to use it. It says, b'magila, the Gemara explains, it means ke'en magila. You can't actually use a tool called a magila. You have to only do it b'yana b'regel, ke'en magila. What does it mean, ke'en magila? The Mishnah Berurah, in Siman Tavkuf Mem, Sifkat and Chas, explains that even if he does it, yafa, ke'en sha'isim kli umnis gam ken shari. Even if it's done a very good job, similar to what's done by the kli umnis, it's also mutter. The chol zanikri ma'isa hedyit. That's also called a ma'isa hedyit. When you seal the cracks on the roof, only a ma'isa hedyit's mutter, not a ma'isa uman. And therefore, you have to do it b'yad v'regel, and you can't do it with a magila. The Ritva says, and it's brought in the Bir Halacha, that this is only when it's not actually leaking into the house. Just a chash, it might leak ukadayma. If it's the roof is mamish leaking, so then you could do it regular. And he says a lashon she'ein onam dar b'mayid b'diris srucha, va'ayi she'ein lach davar avid gadol mizeh. Matter for two reasons. One reason is because a person can't live in a diris srucha, and the second reason is ein lach davar avid gadol mizeh, which means that it will cause damage. So we can understand what he's saying. It's a davar avid. If the roof is leaking by even that it's causing damage, it's a davar avid. That's a klal davar avid. Even a ma'isa uman is mutter. What does he mean, she'en anam dar b'diris rucha? So pashtus, he means that just like there's a heter by tzarech eichel nefesh, we said that the Gemara Daf Yabez is mati even a ma'isa uman. We said before by tachshite isha, that the Mishnah says, daf chesem abeis isa kol tachshite b'mayid, and the Ritva also explains that since the tzarech aguf, that's considered like eichel nefesh, and even a ma'isa uman is mutter. So the same thing, a house which you need for living in, if the house is mamish unlivable, ainan amdar b'diris srucha, that's more than tzarech ha'amayit. That's mamish like tzarech ha'echel nefesh, that's mutta even a ma'isa uman. The Mishnah is talking about a case where the house is livable, it's just you want the house to be better. It's called a tzarech, it's enough to be called a tzarech ha'amayit, so it's mutta a ma'isa hedi, but it's not mamish, it's tzarech ha'yuni, like echel nefesh, it's mutta even a ma'isa uman. Mashegen, when the roof is mamish leaking, that's a tzarech ha'yuni, like echel nefesh, that's mutta even a ma'isa uman. That's what the Ritva says, and the Bi'alacha brings it down la'alacha. Now, I saw in the Sefer Chalamayid, the English Halacha Sefer, is written by Rav David Zucker and Meshe Francis from Chicago, a very interesting art. The Mishnah's Mavur, that you're allowed to do a b'yana b'regel ke'ein magila, and like we said from the Mishnah Berurah, even if it's done, yafa yafa ke'ein sh'aysim klei umnes gam ke'ein shar, that's what it means, ke'ein magila. It looks the same, or similar at least, to when it's done with a klei umnes. And the reason why it's mutter is because you're being mishana, you're doing it with a yad v'regel. So they ask, we learned earlier by sewing that the Mishnah says a uman machlev, the uman has to make the stitches in an awkward way. And the Gemara explains, he makes the stitches jagged or he makes them wider. And we said over them from the Chumash Hadashim, which is brought in the Ramah, that even if he holds a needle in an awkward way, that's not called a shinoi, it has to be a shinoi in the taitzah, in the final result. Now, the Chumash Hadeshin himself held that was only true by sewing, which is more chashuv a malacha. But by writing, if you write a maisa uman ba'ifin, but you hold the pen in an awkward way, the Chumash Hadeshin holds that that's mutter. That's not called the maisa uman. But we said that the Shulchan Aruch doesn't pass in the way. Shulchan Aruch is clear that even if you held the pen in an awkward way, it still would be called the maisa uman. The only time it's called the maisa hedyet is if the letters aren't really printed properly, they're broken, or they're not printed, they're done in a script. That case is called the maisa hedyet. But otherwise, it would be called the maisa uman, even if you mishana in the way you hold the pen. So what's the pshat that by writing and by sewing, by being mishana the way you do it, that wouldn't be called the maisa hedyet? You have to actually be mishana in the taitzah. Something different has to come out. Mashenkin here, by fixing a hole in the roof, as long as you're mishana in the eifen of how you do it, you don't do it with a kli, you do it with the yad and regel, even if it comes out the same as ke'en magila, it comes out yafa, yafa, ke'en maisa umnis, it's still mutter. What's the chilul between these two things? So they answer in the Sefer Cholamayit that the difference is because the Mishnah Berurah says by writing that the reason why a shini doesn't work is because you're being meisif in the tircha. It's in Simen Tafkuf Mem Hei, the Sharetzian, Sefkat Mem Tes, when he brings the Chumash Hadesh and that's matter to Mishan in the writing, in the eifen of the writing, and he says, the Meister Shulchan Aruch doesn't hold that way. And he writes a lashin ube'emes, kevin the ikur isu b'chalamayim mishem teirich, ked isu b'perik beis, b'zei yesh yesram of a teirich. Be able to be matterit with changing the eifen of how you hold the pen, but now you're doing more tircha. The isu b'chalamayim is als tircha, now you're doing more tircha. And similarly, by sewing, if you hold the needle in an awkward way, it's doing more tircha. It's much more difficult. You're making it more difficult for yourself to do the malacha if you change the way you hold the pen or change the way you hold the needle. So that can't make it mutter. Now, Shenke in here, they want to tighten up. They say they have a dig from the Levush that it's not more tircha to do it beyond the regel than to do it with a kli. It's less tircha. So, Mel, that's why the shini of Yad V'regel is good. But even then, ending on like this, if you have a maisa uman and you do it b'shinui, you do it in an awkward way, but there's no shini in the tetzah, there's no shini in what comes out. It's just a shini in the maisa, in the pa'ula, and how it's done. So when it's more tercha, if the shin is going to cause you more tercha, then it's aser. Because even though it's somewhat more of a maisa hedit, but since melechas chalamayit is als tercha, you're doing more tercha, how could that be mutter like the svar of the Mishnah Berurah? Mashayin kain, when the shin is not maisif in the tercha, then it's mutter. Because the shin of the pu'ula could make it a maisa hedit as long as it's not being maisif in the tercha. And that's why here you could stuff the crack be out of a regal. That's the shtikl tayra. But to me, it doesn't seem logical to say that when you do it beyond v'regel, you're not being meisif in the tircha, and you're also not doing any worse of a job. If that would be true, b'mitzias, why would anyone do it with a kli? The reason why I use a kli could be one of two reasons. You can use a kli to make it easier for yourself. You can use a kli to make it a better job. Now, if here we're saying that the yad v'regel, mutter, even though it's exactly the same job, and you're also going to tell me that by Yad V'regel you're not being mice of any tircha over a kli, so I can't understand why anyone should want to use a kli. So Behechach the Metzius has to be wrong. So to answer the question, I think you could say one of two things. Either you could say that Ke'en Magila means similar to a Magila, close to what's done by a kli, but not exactly. Close, but not quite. You'll never be able to stuff the crack as well as with a kli if you do it by Yad V'regel. Then I could agree to their Hanacha that a kli might be more tircha than Yad V'regel. But I would say that the shini of Yad V'regel, the reason why the shini works is because it's also a shini in the tetzah. When you do it with the kli, it happens to come out more professional. When you do it with Yad V'regel, it comes out less professional. And the Gemara means ke'e magila, meaning even if it looks similar to it, it's close, but not quite. That's one possibility I have a pshat in this Gemara. I think the pshat is, you could really say, but if in the Yad V'regel ends up looking the same as the kli. And then avadi you have to nem on a metzias, the kli is less tercha. But the reason why here it's a maisa hedyet, even though you're just changing the pu'ula, is like this. By ksiva, by writing, and by tefira, by sewing, an uman is bechefsa different than a hedyet. An uman is different than a hedyet. An uman knows how to sew better. An uman knows how to write better. There's a difference between an uman and a hedyet. And we're dealing with an uman. A hedyet says kaisiv kedarka. A hedyet is tefer kedarka. A hedyet can do it regular. But we're dealing with an uman, who bechefs is different than a hedyet. So there, even if he changes the way he does it, he's still an Uman. It's still called a Ma'is Uman because the Uman is doing it. And the Uman knows how to do it better than the head. So even if he changes his way he's holding the pen, he changes the way he's holding the needle, it's still called a Ma'is Uman. Shegim, by fixing a hole in the roof, when you fix a hole in the roof beyond of a regal, there an Uman and a head that does the same thing. There's no Umnus in fixing the roof. The Uman is only the pshat as he knows how to use the kalim better. Uman knows how to use the tools. A hedyot does not. But doing it beyond viregel, there is no chilut in the Uman and a hedyot. So there bechefts, it's not called a ma'isa Uman when it's done beyond viregel. Sewing, even if it's done b'shinoi, is a ma'isa Uman. Sewing b'shinoi is also a ma'isa Uman. A Uman, even b'shinoi, does different than a hedyot, does better than a hedyot. Writing, even with the shinoi, is a ma'isa Uman. Even with the shinoi, an Uman does better than a hedyot, does different than a hedyot. Mashaykin, fixing a roof, when you fix a roof beyond the regal, there an Uman and a hedyot are exactly the same. There is no ma'isa Uman in fixing a roof beyond the regal. So even if he does a perfect job, it's called a ma'isa hedyot. That's why the shinoi in the pu'ula works here, because it's a ma'isa hedyot once you do a shinoi pu'ula. Mashaykin, when it's a ma'isa Uman, a ma'isa Uman with the shinoi of the pu'ula by tefir and ksiv, it's still called a ma'isa Uman. That's what I think the Teretz is. And now let's go right up. The Mishnah says, Kol kvashim shiyoch lechmem b'mayit kaivshim. If you're making pickles, soaking something in salt or in brine, if you're able to eat it on chol hamayid, so then you're allowed to pickle it because it's called tzarech hamayid. So you see from there that pickling is called a malacha, but kamuvan it's a maisa hedyot, and therefore it's mutl tzarech hamayid. So the Gemara there brings an incident where there was a line of fish that came from a stuffed-up river. Rava said there are a lot of salted fish to preserve them for after Yom Tov. So Abaya asked him, what do you mean? You're only allowed to pickle things, you're only allowed to salt them in order to eat them on Mayit. Otherwise, it's a malacha and it's shaloi letzarech Mayit. Rava's first teretz was, first lashon, that they originally took the fish to eat on chol hamayid. And nothing was left over, but now that it's left over, it's going to get ruined if you don't pickle it, so it blames the dover of it. So according to the first teretz, they were not allowed to take more fish than they could eat on Yom Tov. I mean, they could take berevach, they could take what they might possibly need for Yom Tov, but they can't be taking fish for after Yom Tov. But now that that fish that they took for Yom Tov and they weren't able to finish it, so now it's a dover of it if they don't salt it, so they're allowed to salt it, it's dover of it. That's the first lashon. The Shulchan Aruch says a similar thing, legabe picking fruits, that you could pick fruits which you could eat on Ma'id, and you could pick as much as you think you might need. And if you have left over, and they won't be able to stay fresh, they won't be able to be edible, if you don't pickle them, they'll get ruined. So you're allowed to pickle the leftovers, like it says here in the first lashon. Now, the second lashon says differently. The second lashon is that Rava allowed them to originally take as much fish as they want and salt it for after Yom Tov, even more than what they needed for Yom Tov. On that, Abaya asked, and again, the Mishnah says, you're not allowed to pickle, and that's what you can eat for it on Yom Tov. So Rav answered him, these also you could eat if you would wash away the salt. So you could eat from it still on Yom Tov. So it sounds like it's considered Tzarech HaMayid, because on each fish that you took, it's possible you'll eat from that fish on Yom Tov. So the Magen Avraham asked that later on after Beis, the Gemara says about making beer, that you can't make more beer than you need through Harama by saying that I want this type of beer, I want the new beer, I want the old beer. You're only allowed to make the beer that you need. You can't just keep making batches of beer and saying I want this batch of beer, I want that batch of beer. So why by the fish are you allowed to trap and salt the fish even though you won't be eating so much fish? So the Magen Avraham gives one answer for the trapping and one answer for the salting. The negay of the malacha of trapping the fish, that the Magen Avraham says, because you actually don't know which fish is better. There's no way to tell. Even if you have fish, but you could trap more fish because maybe the next fish will be a much better fish than the ones that you have. So that's why you let it trap as many fish as you want, because you never know which fish you want to eat. Every fish that you let you trap, maybe that's the fish that will be the best fish and that's you let eat. Shank you by the beer. You know how the beer is going to come out. If you really need a different type of beer, of course you're allowed to do it. But if it's just aroma, then it's usher. That's what he says to answer why trapping is mutter. But that would answer trapping. It wouldn't answer salting. Why would it be mutter to salt, even though you don't need all these fish that you're salting for Yom Tov? You're definitely salting some of them for after Yom Tov. And this, the Magen Avraham says that since salting is derabanan, it's really ibad eichlam, which is derabanan. It's not really a malacha. the Chazal were more make with salting. That the salting the fish, since it's derabanan, they allowed you to do it through Arama. That each fish you salt, you'll say, maybe I'll eat this fish, maybe I'll eat that fish, maybe I'll eat that fish. So in the meantime, you already salted all the different fish. The Rishayim bring that even on Yantif, from Makam Hefs, such a thing as Mutter, Lamashal, the Gemara in Beis says, if you shechted a big bull and you're not able to eat all the meat, you could go and salt one by one. You could salt one piece of meat and say, maybe I want to eat this piece of meat, then salt another one, maybe I want to eat this piece of meat, and that way you'll be able to preserve the meat for after Yantif, otherwise the meat will get wasted. So you see that Aram is sometimes Mutter. So here also, if it's only a problem of any Ibid Ba'ichlin, Haram is Mutter. Now, the Rosh brings a Raiva that asks the Gevaldik Akasha. In this Gemara, it's Mavur that Be'etzim, you're not allowed to just go and take as much fish as you want and do the Malacha of salting them or trapping them. It's only because in the first Lashon, you took what you needed for Yomtif, and then some got left over. That became a Davar Oven. And in the second Lashon, it was just this Harama that you might need it for Yomtif, and the salting also might be for Yomtif. But otherwise, you wouldn't be allowed to take it. In fact, the Ravid, we had said before, we spoke about in the earlier shir, Legabe Prakmatya, that when an opportunity comes, the Shayara comes, the caravan comes, and you're able to get things for very, very cheap, that's called a Davar Avot. So according to that Mahalach, that the opportunity to get something for very cheap is called a Davar Avot, so here also you have free fish. The opportunity to get free fish, why wouldn't that also be called a Davar Avot? And Chistami Mutterot's Davar Avot, even if you can't use it in Yantif altogether, but the fact that you now have the opportunity to get free fish, why wouldn't that be matter al stavar avad to take all the fish you want and salt them off after the Yomtif? So the Ravid says two terutzim, and there's a very big nafkamina halacha between the two terutzim. And we spoke about it a bit in the previous shiur. We more marachiv now. The first terutz is that when you're discussing buying something for a cheap price, that's called a davar avad. In other words, if you have to buy something and you get an opportunity to buy it at a very cheap price, that's a real davar avad. Because if you don't buy it now, so you're not going to be able to get it for the cheap price, so the price is going to go up. So it's key like your money is going to get lost. That's a davar avad. Masha'en kain, the opportunity to get something for free, that's not a davar avad. That's a revach. That's a revach. You had an opportunity to get a revach on Yomtif, to get some free profit on Yomtif. So that's not a davar avad. That's just menias a revach. That's not called davar avad. When it's a matter of commerce and you're able to get a good price on something and that price won't last, you won't be able to get the good price anymore, that's a davar avad. Now, Shaykh, when a whole free thing came, it's now completely free. It's a mitzia. That's not a davar avad. That's usur to take part of in a chalamayid. That's just a mitzia. That's a matan. It's menias a revach. That's not called a davar avad. The Ravid says the second teretz, la'olam, even a lower price than that also is really not a davar avot. But pragmati is different. Pragmati is not really a malacha. It's only asim mishum tercha. So pragmati, the more mekel. When it comes to the issa of buying and selling, that the more mekel. So there, if you had an opportunity to get something for cheap, and the whole issa you're doing is buying it, that, when we got to buying it, we consider it a davar avot, because buying is not really a malacha. Masha'en kain, when you're dealing with the real malacha, like salting, which is a malacha, so then we only would consider it if you're going to actually lose something of your property get lost or devalued. But the fact that you have an opportunity for a great deal and you're going to miss on the opportunity, that's not called hefset, even if it's a matter of buying and selling. Let's arrive at second hefts. So come at an afkamina la'alacha, that let's say you have the opportunity to buy something for a cheap price, but you have to do a malacha in order to get it. If you don't do this malacha, you won't be able to get the item at a cheap price. So according to the first teretz of the Ravid, since you're buying the item, you're not getting the item for free, you're just getting a very good deal on the price, that's called a davar avad. Even a malacha would be mutter, because that's called a davar avad. And that in our Gemara, the fish is not called a davar avad, it's because they weren't buying it. It was completely free. It was a total freebie. That's just menias a revach. But if it's something that you're buying, but you're getting a good price for it, even if you have to do a malacha, that's also mutter. A shaken, according to the second teretz of the Ravid, any time it's not an actual loss, it's just missing out on an opportunity to gain, that's always not called a davar avad. It only is matter to buy and sell, because that's not really a malacha. But if you have to do a malacha to get a good price, that would be aser. Now, the Shulchan Aruch, And Simon Tavkav Lama Gimel, Siv Gimel says the following halacha. He says, Perish in his mashluk sas in the chama de atchak. You have perish that are somewhat ripe, you still could eat them. Mutter lakhtim kadeh la'eichlam. You're allowed to pick them in order to eat them. Vim lakhtim la'eichlam v'haysir v'chaysh Hashem yasliyum. And if you pick them in order to eat them, and you're afraid now that they'll get ruined and you have to pickle them, you're allowed to. But you're not allowed to pick them originally in order to pickle them. And let's say you're not going to be able to get these pears after Yom Tov. Then you're allowed to buy them and pickle them. So the Magen Avraham is medayik like this. When it comes to the tzarech hamayid, the Shulchan Aruch says you're allowed to pick them off the tree. Whatever you need to eat, and you could even do it berevach, and if you have any left over, then you could pickle them because that becomes a davar of it. But if you don't, if you know for sure you're not going to eat them, Shulchan Aruch says you're not allowed to pick them in order to pickle them. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, but if it's not going to be around after the mayid, then you're allowed to buy them and pickle them. He doesn't say you're allowed to pick them. Taina d'magen Avraham, it's bedafka. Because we're talking about when these peiros are from trees that are hefker, or you're buying them from a guy. And the Shulchan Aruch is paskening, like the second teretz of the Ravid, that an opportunity is never called a davar avot. So therefore, when it comes to picking them off the tree, that's asur, even if it's not going to be nimtzach or amayit. That's not called davar avot. So it's not matter doing a malacha. When it comes to buying them, that's not really a malacha, that's mutter if you have a one-time opportunity to get these payers either for free or for a very low price. That's the Magen Avraham's pshat in the Shulchan Aruch. That the Shulchan Aruch paskens completely like the second teretz of the Ravid. Problem is it's a pella, because the Shulchan Aruch says that if they're not benim tzaracha ma'id, you're allowed to buy them, ula kaiv sham, you're allowed to pickle them. So you see the Shulchan Aruch is being matter even to pickle them. You see the Shulchan Aruch is being matter to do a malacha. So how does it shtim with our Gemara that says only mutter because you could possibly eat from them for mayid, like we explained in the second lashon, and the first lashon only because you actually wanted to eat from them in the mayid. So Rabbi Kivega says, Al karch the Shulchan Aruch holds like the first teres of the Ravid. Even a malach is mutter when you're dealing with buying and selling. Buying for a cheaper price, that's called a davar avot. Agamar is different because Agamar is talking about where you're getting them completely for free, that's not called a davar avot. Mikveg is not bothered by the Shulchan Aruch. He says, Moshe Rishayim bring the second teretz to the Ravid. It would only be mutter by Mecha Chumemke. It wouldn't be mutter do a malacha of Kivush. He's bothered by the Shulchan Aruch. He wants to say we don't pass him like the Shulchan Aruch. To be a malacha clears to say that the Magen Avraham, Magen Avraham's pshat in the Shulchan Aruch is mechalik between a malacha gemura like Lakita, which that's aser. For that, we don't consider it a davar avad, and even when you're buying it, because it's not an actual davar avad, it's just missing an opportunity. But when you're dealing with a malacha derabanan, like kivush, like because ain't ibid ba'eichlin, so they could be make like the first teretz of the Ravid and consider it a davar avad, as long as you're missing an opportunity, even to do a malacha al kapanam, a malacha derabanan.
We now begin the second perek of Ma'id Katan, perek Mishahafach, Yud Aleph Amid Beis. The Mishnah starts off, Mishahafach ezeisav ve'iroi evel. This is, of course, the aside of Davar HaAvid. The person was Mahapech Zesav, which is one of the preparatory stages before pressing the olives to create oil. And now he finds himself in a situation in which he's not allowed to do malacha. For example, he became an Avil, or Yom Tov descended upon him, and there was some sort of oinis which made it that it was not capable of being soichet, of pressing the olives before Yom Tov. So the din is toyin koyer rishayna omanicha la'achar moyed divir Reb Yehuda. Reb Yehuda's shita is that he should place the koyer's beis habad on top of them, rishayna meaning the first time. This will not extract all of the oil from them, and then he should leave them until after the Yom Tov. That is Shitas Reb Yehuda, Reb Yossi Omer, Zoylef V'Goymer V'Gof Kedarkoy. He's allowed to complete the process of making the olive oil. Now what exactly is the Hesber and the Machloikes between Reb Yehuda and Reb Yossi? So before we give a Hesber as to what they may be arguing about, we first have to wonder what exactly is the Metzias. What happens when you leave the olives after doing the Koyer Rishayna and not yet doing the Koyer Shnia until after Yom Tov? Is there no hefsid whatsoever? Or is there minimal hefsid? Because many paiskim, such as the Rambam in Hilchos Yom Tov Perek Zayin Halacha Beis, and Shulchan Aruch in Siman Tov Kuf Mem Aleph Sif Dalid maintain that the heter of Davar HaAvid LaHalacha is only true when there's a hefsid meruba, when there's a lot of hefsid, and that is actually the lashon of Rashi in our Mishnah. Dibra Maschil Toyin Kari Rishoina. Rashi explains Kaloimar Noistan Al Gabi Beis Abad Beregel V'Soichet Alehem HaKoyra Pam Achas the Eloy Avid Hachi. If you don't do this, Ika Pseida Yisera. If, after being mahapich the zesim, you then leave them and you don't do any pressing, then you will suffer a large loss. However, once you did do the first time, the kor rishayna, will you now be in a situation, if you leave it until after Yom Tif, that you will suffer no loss whatsoever? Or there will be some loss, but it won't be called hefsid merubah? From the lashon of Rashi on the Rif, it's mavur, that there will be no hefsid whatsoever. It's no different than had you not started the process. You'll take care of any monetary loss once you do that kari rishoina. You don't have to worry about leaving it until after Yom Tif now. In the Me'iri, however, it's mavur, that after you do the te'ina rishoina, there's still, when you leave it over until after Yom Tif, will be a small hefsid. There's a hefsid mu'at. So, according to the Me'iri, we can understand very simply, and this is what the Me'iri says, is the machloik is between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yehuda holds that the only thing that's mutter on Chol HaMoed, Mishum Davar HaAvid, is something that there's going to be a hefsid meruba. However, Rabbi Yossi argues, and he says you can finish it off, because Rabbi Yossi holds that you don't need to have a hefsid meruba. Hefsid mu'at is enough. So that Hesber makes sense once we know that the Metzias is that there's going to be a Hefsid Mu'at. Then we can understand Shitas Reb Yossi. However, according to Rashi, the Rashi on the Rif that we quoted, that says that there will be no Hefsid, how are we to explain the Machloikis? Why would Reb Yossi say that it's Mutter to complete the process of creating the oil? You should have to stop as soon as you ensure that there's no monetary loss. So we find two Hesberim in the Rishonim that would explain their machloikis even if there is no hefsid whatsoever. In the Chedushe Haran, he says as follows. He says, V'Rab Yoisi Sovar, Kivin Shehiskil Beheter Goymer Komolachtoi, V'Toyen Aleim, Kederch Shuoise Bechoil. You see that he learns that once you started Beheter, because in the beginning it was a Davra of it, you have the Heter to put the Koy Rishonah there, that gives you the Heter to finish the whole process as well. Rabbi Yehuda holds they have to stop as soon as it becomes no longer a davar avid. There's no longer a hefsid. But Rabbi Yossi says that once you started the malacha, you could finish it. Al pi pashtus, what this means is that the machloikas between Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda may be dependent on whether the geder of the heter to do a malacha of davar avid on chol hamoed is what we call hutra or dechuya. Dechuya would mean that the fact that I have the potential for a monetary loss is compelling enough for me to override the isser of doing malacha on Chol HaMoed. So dechuya requires something to override your isser. What's overriding my isser? The davar of it itself. The moment I no longer have that siba, I don't have the potential loss, I have nothing to override the isser of doing malacha on Chol HaMoed. Masha'en Kain, if you understand, that the geder is hutra. Hutra means nothing has to really now practically override the isser of doing malacha on Chol HaMoed. Rather, Chazal said that legabe davar ha'avid, the isser to do malacha was never given. And that means that programmed into the very isser of doing malacha on Chol HaMoed was the fact that the isser doesn't even exist when it comes to a malacha that is a davar ha'avid. Then we can say that they were matir, the isser legabe the entire malacha. Of course, if it's dechuya, you can't say that the entire malacha is doiche, because it's not the malacha that's doiche. It's the loss that you may suffer. So the moment you're not suffering a loss, there's nothing to override the isser. But if it's not that we need to override the isser was never given legabe certain malachas, then it's possible that when we say it wasn't given legabe this malacha, we look at the entire malacha from the beginning to the end as being part of that heter. Later on, when we discuss the various explanations as to why a davar avid is mutar on Chol HaMoed, we'll explain why this may be true. Why do you look at the entire malacha together? A koponim, that's one hesber in explaining if there is no hefsid at all, why would Rabbi Yossi be matar? The answer is that Rabbi Yossi holds you're allowed to finish the malacha, and Rabbi Yehuda holds you're not allowed to finish the malacha. Another hesber in the machlokes could be found in the Ritva. The Ritva seems to be of the opinion that everybody holds that you're allowed to look at the entire malacha, and therefore it should stand to reason that the whole thing should be mutter b'tchilavat soif. It's just that he holds that the reason why, according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're not allowed to finish is because you have to do a shinut. You can't do it the way that you usually do it during the weekdays. Rabbi Yossi, on the other hand, holds that you don't have to do any shinui. And this is somewhat meduyik in the lashon of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Omer, Zoyle v'goymer v'gof kidarkoi. Why does he add the word kidarkoi? Because Rabbi Yehuda, who says that you're not allowed to finish it, is because he holds that you have to do things with the shinui. Comes Rabbi Yossi and he says, you don't have to do any shinui. You could do it the way that you ordinarily do it. So it comes out that in total we have three ways of explaining the machlokes, Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yossi. According to the Meiri, the machlokes is whether you need to have a hefsid meruba or a hefsid muad is enough, and that's why Rabbi Yossi holds that you're allowed to finish it, because a hefsid muad is enough to be matir doing malacha and chalamayid, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that it's not enough, and therefore you have to stop as soon as it ceases to be a hefsid meruba. But of course, like we said, that only helps if you hold that after Te'ina Rishayna there still will be a hefsid muad if you leave it over. Since there are Rishayim like Rashi on the Rif, who holds that there's not going to be any hefsid, we offer two additional hezber in the machloikis. According to the Chedushi Aran, the hezber in the machloikis is, are you allowed to finish the malacha or not? In other words, do you have to stop as soon as it stops being a hefsid? Or are you allowed to just complete the whole malacha? Which, by the way, is also the shita of Rabbeinu Yerucham. He holds that you're allowed to finish it once you start it. And the last hezber we gave was based on the Ritva, who holds that the machloikis is whether or not you have to do a shinui. According to the Tanakhama, you have to do a shinui, and that's why you're not allowed to finish. And according to Beis, you don't have to do a shinui. The Gemara asks a question. Pasach be'evel v'siyam b'moyed. The Mishnah started out talking about two cases. Either the person, after being mahapach ezesav, an evil happened to him, Oynes, which Rashi explains to mean that we're talking about a case of a person before Yomtif was mahapach ezesav, and then an oynes happened, he wasn't able to finish by being toyin the Kairis Beis Habad on them. But in the end of the Mishnah, it says that he can be toyin Kairis Rishayinu umanich ala achra moyed, and it leaves out the fact that we're also talking about a case of Evil. So the Gemara gives two terutzim. Rav Shisha Bered Rav Edi says, Zoyse meres dvarim hamutarim b'moyed asurim b'mei evloy. In other words, although they were matter the person himself to be toyin Kairis Beis Habad on cholamoyed, they were not matter him to do it himself during his Yimei Evil. And we find in the Rishonim two Hesberim why this may be true. According to Tosfos, later, on Daf Yud Beis Amud Aleph, Dibar Maschil Amar Shmuel, the reason why there were more Machmer by Evil than by Chol HaMoed is because, as the Gemara is going to say soon, B'dasar of Ashi, Evil is a total Drabbanan. Masha'en Kein Chol HaMoed is an Isser Malacha Midairaisa. Either it's an Isser Dairaisa or because it has a Smach Minatoira. But in principle, it's something that should be seen as more Chomer. And that's why Rav Ashi says that we mean something totally different than Rashi Shabrader of Edi. Lomi Boy Ka'amar. The Mishnah is choosing to express the greatest Chiddush. Says Rashi Shabrader of Edi that is good for the reason why they were more machmer by Evil. Since Evil, in people's eyes, seems to be something that's more kal, people will be mezalzel. Therefore, we have to be more machmer by Evil. And this is something that we find very often. Sometimes Chazal say that a dindra banan is treated with more chomer than a dindra raisa because divra chacham mitzrichin chizuk. So you find that there are dinim that are given to things that people would perceive as being more lenient. So that is Tosis's hesber. The Rush, however, holds that be'emes there is absolutely no svara to be mechalek between Evil and Moyed. It's just that technically speaking, by Evil it's possible to have other people do the malacha for you. By Chol HaMoed, just like it's Chol HaMoed for me, it's Chol HaMoed for somebody else. So the option of having somebody else do my malacha for me doesn't exist. Therefore, they allowed me to go and do the malacha by myself. Masha'en came by Evil, there's the option of having somebody else do the malacha for you. And that, he says, is the machlokes between Rabbi Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakhama in a case where there is nobody else who's available to do the malacha for you. Why Rabbi Shimon Gamliel would even imagine that you could do the malacha yourself? He says you're allowed to do it b'tzina. The Tanakhama argues. Now, what would be the hezber in Rabbi Shimon Gamliel? If you understand the way Tosfos is saying that they treated Evil with more chumrah than Chol HaMoed, then what would be the logic behind saying that when there's nobody else available to do it, then he's allowed to do it? Masha'en Kain, if you understand the way he says, the way the Rush says, that it's not that there were more machmer by Avil. Rather, it's just that Avil usually has the option of getting somebody else to do it. So the machlokes of Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakama is, what happens if you don't have somebody else to do it? This particular person in his situation doesn't have another person to do the melacha for him. So according to Shimon Gamliel, then it becomes just like Chol HaMoed. Masha'en Kain, the Tanakama holds that since in general you could have somebody do it, so there's a light pluk. Chazal weren't mechalik between when you do have somebody else and when you don't have somebody else. Since al pi rov, you will have somebody else. Now there's a big nafkamina between the two hesberim. If you understand that the reason why they were more machmer by Avil is because Avil has to be treated with more chumrah, and therefore they said you can't do it by yourself, like Tosfos and Yud Beis Amud Aleph learns, or if you learn like the Rush, that it wasn't really that they were trying to be machmer more by Avil, rather it's because there was the option of getting somebody else to do the malacha for you. And that nafkamina could be found in Rabbi Kiva Eger, in his Agoyis, on Shulchan Aruch, Yeridei Simin Shin Tzadik Tes. Over there, the Ramah says, V'kol malacha hamuteres, lases loy b'moyed, b'dovera ovid, muter lases ba'atzmoy. He's referring to an ovel on Chol HaMoed. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger, why is it that the Ramah paskins that an ovel on Chol HaMoed is allowed to do a dovera ovid by himself? After all, asks Rabbi Kiva Eger, Avelus is something that we were more machmer by, so we don't allow you to do it by yourself. You have to do it through other people. Says Rabbi Kiva Eger that the whole reason why Avelus is more chomer than Chol HaMoed is because by Avelus, given the efshal yidei acherim v'lohem heter gomer mishamachi ein mekilin al yidei atzmai. By Avel, we don't have to give you the heter to do it by yourself, because by Avelus, you have other people who are able to do it. Therefore, he says, imkein harcha beregel, on Yom Tov, when it's an Avel on Yom Tov, the gamal acherim yike yisura, machmes regel, ein hefesh bein al yidei atzmai al yidei acherim. It's not like there's going to be any difference between you and somebody else. So if you learn like Toysis's Hesber, then there's a mila in having the malacha done al yidei somebody else. Because they were machmer and they said that you're not allowed to do malacha by yourself. So even if everybody has the isur, the oval is worse off because he has two isurim. So Einach Hanami, according to Rishim Gamliel, if the oval is the only person that's available to do it, then we're making, we allow him to do it by himself. That wouldn't apply to Yom Tov because the Avil has the same Isser that everybody else has. But if you learn like the Hesber of the Rush, then, like Kivager says, when it's Avil and Yom Tov together, then we allow the Avil to do it by himself. Now, Rav Ashi gives a different teretz to the Gemara's original question, the Pasach be'evil v'siyim b'moyit. Rav Ashi actually says, it's a less of a chiddush to say that by Avil that it's mutter because it's only a drabbanan. El afilu b'moyed, the iser melacha midairaisa, b'makam pseida sharu rabbanan. The Mishnah wants me to understand that even by Chol HaMoed, which is an iser melacha midairaisa, they were matir b'makam pseida. Now, both what the Gemara says about Avil and what the Gemara says about Chol HaMoed need clarification. The fact that the Gemara says that Avil is a Durabonon, Tosfos later in Daf Yudalad Amud Beis points out that what the Gemara means is that the Isser Melacha is a Durabonon by Avil. Avil itself quite possibly is an Isser Da'iraisa, but the Isser to do Melacha when you're an Avil, that is only a Durabonon. That's why it's meduyik how the Gemara ends off by saying, Loi mi boi b'mei evlai de midrabanan hu v'shari, ela afilu b'moye de iser melacha midairaisa, b'mokam pseida sharabanan. You see that the Gemara didn't end off by saying, ela afilu b'moye de midairaisa hu, like it started off by saying, mei evlai de midrabanan hu. Rather, the Gemara pointed out, ela afilu b'moye de iser melacha midairaisa, that b'mokam pseida sharabanan. So that is Nekuda number one. The Gemara says, Midrabanan, by Avil it means the Isser Melacha. Nekuda number two is that Legabe Chol HaMoed, which the Gemara expresses is an Isser Melacha Midairaisa, there are various shitas. Rashi over here in Dibra Maschil El Afilu says, Choyle Shol Moed Asira Bein Melacha Midairaisa, Dichsives Chag HaMatzis Tishmer Shivas Yomim, Limit Al Kol HaChag Shu Aser. It sounds like it's a limud, it's the Alfusa Gemura, that there's an Isser Dairaisa to do Melacha on Chol HaMoed. And this is also the Poshut HaMashmos of the Gemara in Chagiga Daf Yud Ches Mabez. However, Tosfos over there in Chagiga asks that how could you be matir, Dovra Ovid, and other malachis if it's an Issa Dairaisa? Where do we ever find, says Tosfos, an Issa Dairaisa that's Miktsasei Aser or Miktsasei Mutter? Furthermore, Tosfos asks from the Yerushalmi, over here in our perek, Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel says, Ilu hayali misha yimna imi, if I would have somebody who would be able to form a bezna together with me, hitarti, I would be matir the isser to do malacha and chol hamoed. And he explains, because klum asur lasais malacha b'chol shol moed, ela kadei shiyu oichlam v'shoisim v'yigayim b'toyra. The whole reason why they said that it's asur to do malacha and chol shol moed is in order that people should be oichlam v'shoisim b'misyageya and toyra. V'heim oichlam v'shoisim u'peichzim. So since the whole tachlis of the chol moed is not being mekuyim, anyway, I would be matir it. That definitely sounds like it's only a dindra abana. By a deraisa, you never would find such a thing. Just because the deraisa is not fulfilling its tachlis, that we can come and be matir. So Tosfos takes the position that the iser malacha and chol hamoed is a derabbanan. The Gemara in Chagiga Yud Ches Mebeis that says that it's a deraisa and brings a drasha, it's only an asmachta ba'alma. The fact that our Gemara says that it's deraisa, it means kein a deraisa because it has a smach from the Torah. As we know, the Ritva says in the Rosh Hashanah in the first parak that an asmachta is not merely a simon ba'alma to tell us where this idea is merumas in the Torah. Rather, an asmachta is a real thing. It is the ratzon of the Torah. The Torah was being merames that this is what Hashem wants. It's just that he didn't give a tzivui. He waited for the rabbanan to give you the tzivui. So something with an asmachta, a rabbanan that has an asmachta behind it, and a rabbanan that doesn't have an asmachta, are naturally going to be on two different levels. However, there are quite a few Rishonim that seem to take the side of Rashi, and they go with the Pashas of the Gemara that the Malacha on Chol Hamoed is an Issa D'Oraisa. Most Rishonim assume B'dasa Rif, who just brings down the Braisa B'stam, that he holds it Issa D'Oraisa, the Shiltas and V'zaisa Bracha, the Ritz Geis, the Sefer Eshkel, and other Rishonim. Now, the Shita Saramban over here in Merikot, in the beginning of the Masechta, and those Rishonim that come from the Beis Medrash of the Ramban, like the Rashba, the Ritva, is somewhat of a middle shita, and that is that any malacha that's not letzorech hamoyed and is not a davra of it is aser midairaisa. But a malacha that's letzorech hamoyed, even if it's a malacha su'uman, or a malacha that is a davra of it that has a lot of tircha involved, is only an iser derabbana. So when the Gemara says that it's deraisa, it's serious. It is a deraisa. When Abba Bar Mamel said that he would have been nimna with other people in a bezin to be mater the iser, he was talking about those malachas that are only drabana, such as malachas that are letzayrich hamoyed and a davar ha'avid. Take a look at the Bir Halacha in Siman Tov Kuf Lamed. He brings all the Rishonim. Beis Yosef in Siman Tov Kuf Lamed seems to be mitzaded that it's deraisa, even though in the Shulchan Aruch in a number of places, he says that you could be mekel like every suffix derabbanan. The Ramah is also unclear. So the Bir Halacha says that you should not be quick to be mekel by a suffix unless it's a tzorich gadol, because you should be choshev for the shittas in the Rishonim that the iser is menat Torah. In the shittas of Rambam, there's a tremendous mevucha, because on the one hand, in Hilchos Yom Tov Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, the Rambam says ha'oisa boy malacha ha'asura makin oisei makas mardus mipnei she'isurei medivrei soifrim. That sounds like Tosfos, that it's an issa d'rabbanan. That's how the Magen Mishnah learns, and that's how the Ramban understands b'dasa Rambam, and the Chinuch in Mitzvah Shin Chav Gimel. Most of the Rishonim understand that to be the pshat in the Rambam. However, the Keren Oira in his Psicha to Moed Katan suggests that the Rambam agrees to Rashi that it's an Isser Midairaisa, as is apparent from the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos. Now, what he writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos is not the biggest right, because there are plenty of times that we find that the Rambam in the Yad is choizer from what he writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos. However, in that very halacha that we quoted from Hilchos Yom to Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, there is also a conflicting mashmos that it is deraisa, because the lashon of the Rambam is cholu shel moed af al pi sheloi nemar by shabbosin, even though it doesn't say shabbosin by cholu moed hoyel v'nikra, since it is called mikra kodesh v'areyu zman chagiga b'mikdash aser v'asiyas malacha. So it sounds like he is making a drasha, which is taken from Rabbi Kiva in the sugya and chagiga yurches. Furthermore, in Hilchos Chagiga, Perek Alef Halacha Yud, the Rambam says, "Mutter lahakriv b'chol shel moed nedarim nedavis." You're allowed to bring nedarim nedavis on chol moed. She nemar eila tasu l'Hashem b'moyadechem levad minidreichem v'nidvoyseichem. Says the Rambam, "Mechlal shekreivim beregel." The pasuk is being mechadish that you're allowed to bring them on Yom Tov. And the Rambam ends off that halacha by saying, "Akol kreivim b'moyed ve'ain kreivim b'yom tov." You have a special pasuk saying that you're allowed to bring nedarim and a davis on chol hamoed, even though you can't bring them on Yom Tov. Now, if the iser malacha on chol hamoed is merely a drabbanan, why would you need a pasuk to be matir bringing the Dharma Nadavas. So because of this Rambam, the Keren Ayur wants to say that when the Rambam says that the Din of Chol Moed is only midivrei soifrim, it's not because he holds it's only derabbanan. The derech of the Rambam is to refer to dinim that are learnt out from drushes, even if they're deraisa, since they're not mefurish in the pasuk, they're rather, they're only learnt out from drushes, he calls that divrei soifrim. Continues the Keren Ayur, and he says as follows. He says, you'll ask Toises Kasha, how is it possible, if it's a Dairaisa, to be Matir Mixes Melachas? We never find a Dairaisa that some of the Melachas are Mutter, some of the Melachas are Usser. And also, like we said, why would Rav Abba Bar Mamel have said that if it were up to him, he would make a Bezdin and be Matir doing Melacha on Chol HaMoed? How could he do that? It's an Issa Dairaisa. Says the Keren Ayur, that according to the Rambam, the Isser Melacha on Chol HaMoed is not an inherent Isser. It's not Usser because there's an Isser to do Melacha, rather it's a function of the Din of Simchas Yomtiv. Part of the Chiyuv to be Mesameach and Yomtiv is Mechayev, that you should be bottled for Melacha so that you could be Mesameach. Kadesh Yu Pnuyim, like we said. And that would explain why you don't get Malkus for doing Melacha on Chol HaMoed. It's Doiraisa, but you don't get Malkus because the Isser is not because you're not allowed to do Melacha. It's not an inherent Isser. There's something wrong with the doing Melacha itself. Rather, it's because it's Mevatel you from Simcha. And that, says the Keren Ayur, is the reason why there are certain Melachas that are Mutaris. Because it's Nimser Lechachamim to be Keveya, and to determine which are the malachas that are meinei the person from Simchas HaChag and which are not. So this is the Hesber of the Keren Ayur. He allows the Rambam to hold that it is Dairaisa, and still certain aspects of it can behave not like a Dairaisa, more like a Darabanan, because the basic din is a din Dairaisa. But since the din Dairaisa is not that malacha is Bechefza Aser, rather that Melacha is just a Hechatimtza to be Mevatel a person from Simchas Yomtif, so the Gedarim could be much more flexible in terms of what's going to be Usser and what's going to be Mutter. The Rabbanan are the ones who decide when it is considered somebody gets Mevatel you from Simchas Yomtif. However, there really is no Zecher in the Rambam that the Isser Melacha and Chol HaMoed is because of Simchas Yomtif. If you medayik the Lashon of the Rambam, it would be mashma of very similar mahalach to that of the Keren Ayur, but with a slightly different twist. Not that the Isser Melacha is a function of Simchas Yomtiv, but it is also not its own inherent Isser. It's a function of something else. What is that? The Lashon of the Rambam is, Chol HaMoed, afapi shleinera by Shabbosin, hoyel v'nikra mikra koidish, v'areyu zman chagiga b'miktish, osir ba'asiyas melacha, kidei shelo yiye kishar yimei hachoyel, she'em behem kedusha klal. And then he says, "V'loy kol melechas avoida asuru by kiyomtiv shesoifa inyan bedvarim shenesru by kedei shelo yiyeh kiyoyim choy lechol dover." So, using the structure of the Keren Ayur, we can say very similar that it's not an inherent isser; it's an isser that's a function of something else. But what is it a function of? Making sure that the day is not like a yoyim choyl. Since it's Nikra Mikra Kodesh, it's Aser Ba'asiyas Melacha, in order that it shouldn't be like all other Yimei Chol. And this could also be up to the Rabbanan to determine what are the Melachas that create the day into a day that's like a Yom Chol. The main intention of the Torah is not that a person shouldn't be doing Melacha per se. The Torah just didn't want Chol HaMoed to look like a regular day, a Yom Chol. So the Rabbanan could come along and say which Melachas make it seem like a Yom Chol. And this would also justify Rabbi Abba Bar Mamel saying that he would take a Bezdin together and be matur it entirely, because since the whole purpose of it is in order that it should look like a Yom Kodesh and not a Yom Chol, if people are Oichlim v'shoysen u'poichazim, then it doesn't look like a Mikra Kodesh at all, it's not like a Yom Kodesh, and therefore it's better that they should just do Malacha. And a raya to this would be the Mishnah in Ovis. It says over there, "Mechalul es hakodshim v'hamevaze es hamoedos." The Mishnah tells us, "Af fish yesh biyadei Torah masim tovim ein lechiluk lo'olam haba." Now, some of Farshim learned that it's going on the Yom Tovim themselves. However, the Rishonim, the Rashbam, the Rivan explained that it's going on Chol HaMoed. The Rabbeinu Yoina over there in Ovis says the same thing, and he adds that in Yom Tov itself, lehutzrich lemer, you don't have to say shari Yom Tov kishabesu. Rather, it's going on Chol HaMoed. And then he says, why is it called Mevazeh Samoides? It doesn't call it Mechala Samoides. He says, because this person is saying, Elo Ayomim Eilam Kedusha Kol Kach, Kiyom Marishonim. That's what he says a person who does Melacha on Chol HaMoed is doing. Because he says over there that we're talking about a person who does Melachas on Chol HaMoed. But you see that the Toichin HaIsser is that you're making it like a Yom Chol. Now, earlier in this year, we discussed the Shita of the Ran, that the Pshat in Rabbi Yossi in our Mishnah, who says that you could complete the process of creating oil, is because you're allowed, once you started to do the Malacha, to finish the Malacha. And we asked, What's the hesber? Why should you be allowed to finish the melacha? It's no longer a davar ha'avid. And we explained that it could be that it's hutra klape certain melachas. Once the melacha is something that Yomtif doesn't recognize as being usher, you can complete the melacha. In light of what we just explained, we can understand this idea a little deeper. Because since the whole Isser is Mevazes HaMoedes, you're turning it into a Yom Chol, and Chazal were Kaiveya, that when there's a tremendous monetary loss at stake, the involvement in Melacha doesn't change it into a Yom Chol, so then it would stand to reason that even if you finish off the Melacha that you began, you're also not making it to a Yom Chol. So if the Melacha was an inherent Melacha, you're not allowed to do this act of Melacha in Chol HaMoed, and the whole din of Davra Ovid was giving you permission to do that Melacha, although it's inherently Aser, then it would stand to reason you'd have to look at every Melacha that you're doing and determine, is this something that you're allowed to do on Yom Tov or not? But if the point of the Melacha is not that it itself is Aser, it's only Aser because it undermines the spirit of the Yom Tov, if it makes it like a Yom Chol, then as soon as we said that the person who's involved in this Melacha is not changing it into Yom Chol, because we know that he's doing it because of his monetary loss and not because of trying to make Yom Tov like a weekday, then it makes sense to say that you should be able to finish it off as well.
You have been listening to the Shiurim of Shas Illuminated. Shas Illuminated is a non-profit organization dedicated to broadening the learning of those studying the Daf worldwide. If you would like to make a donation or to dedicate a Daf or Masechta, please visit our website at shasilluminated.org or call 203-312-SHAS. You can also email us at shasilluminated@gmail.com.